Good evening, everybody. Thank you, sweet. All right. Amen. That's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. So it looks like we've missed a lot of people because a lot of people are at graduation. So if you wouldn't mind kind of shuffling forward a little bit, if you can. Come up a little bit closer. Wait, not too fast, not too fast. No, come on, seriously. Come on up. All right. Everybody's getting in here. Well, good evening, everyone. If you don't know me, this is the first time you've met me. My name is Perry Parks. I'm glad to be here in front of you tonight. Over the last month or so, Richard's our evangelist, if you haven't been here before. Richard has been giving a lesson series titled Worthy of His Calling. Worthy of His Calling. And it's been a fantastic series. He's had previous lessons, and the titles started off with, first he talked about the call to love. And we were talking there about how Jesus has shown us how to love like him, and that we should rise to be able to love like Jesus. The second one was challenging. It was called the call to suffer. And when we talked about the call to suffer, Richard really spoke to us about how God uses our suffering to shape us and turn us into people that represent a little bit more like his son. The third thing that he talked about was a call to humility and how God's glory comes from us humbling ourselves. And the last, which was last week, I really enjoyed it. It was a call to testify. And that's when our brothers and sisters came up to the mic and shared about how God has moved in their lives and about how the grace has changed them. We talked about how the grace has changed them initially to follow him as their disciples, and then also how God's grace has changed them recently. And I love that because as they shared their hearts, I could feel the fire of the Spirit burning in my own heart. It gave me more faith to hear about how God has been working in other people's lives. And so all of those things are fantastic, and they really come together nicely in what we're going to talk about tonight. The lesson tonight is titled, The Call to Serve. And we're talking about how God has called us outside of this upside-down world to serve as he has intended. And this was challenging for me, and a lot of the brothers I was talking to can attest. Because I grew up as an only child, and my needs are right in front of my face all the time. I'm very clear on what I need. And so when we talk about the call to serve, it just opened my eyes to the way God intended us to think about service. And it challenged me. So I'm going to open up this word to you, and hopefully it'll challenge you as well. Challenge you to change and think about the way that God has called you to serve. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to start reading in verse 25. In Matthew 20, verse 25, the Bible says, Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve. He didn't come to have his needs met, but he came to meet our needs. And the greatest need that we had, which was the need that we have for God. He calls the disciples to the exact opposite view that the world holds. He tells them not to take the authority that they have, the power and the strength that they have, and use it to lord it over the people that they are responsible for, but to take whatever they're given and become a servant with it, to become a slave with the power that they have. God in the world sees service completely differently. It's completely the opposite. So in this lesson, We're going to talk about the world's view of service versus God's view of service. And we're going to recognize when we go through that, that the world's view of service leads to death and God's view of service leads to life. There's someone told me at one point in time, they said that you don't recognize a counterfeit by studying a bunch of fakes. Because there are an infinite number of variations on the truth. But if you study the genuine article, if you study the real thing, when a fake comes in front of you, you'll automatically be able to spot the difference, whatever it might be. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk about the truth, about the strength God has given us to serve. We're going to talk about the truth, about the mindset we must have in order to be able to use that strength. And we're going to talk about the truth, about the heart that we're commanded to have in order to make any of that service mean anything. Because there is a type of service that will profit you absolutely nothing. And we want to avoid that type of service, amen? So first we're going to start with the two views of God's service. The two views of service. And we're going to start again in Matthew 20. Because there's something that prompted Jesus's lesson here to his disciples. And it's right above where we just read. In Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 20, the Bible says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.' When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers." And then Jesus tells the story we just read. The Bible says the disciples were indignant. Why were they so mad? Why were they indignant? It's because they still had the world lingering in their hearts. This was offensive to them because being placed below these two brothers for them was a slight. It was a slight to have these two brothers be seen above them. They must have been thinking, "I've been here just as long as you have. I've been following him just like you. What gives you the right to step above me?" And that's the only thing I can see that would make somebody indignant when they're saying, "Put me higher than the rest of these guys." I mean, really, bless this mother's heart. I mean, she wanted the highest place for her boys. I mean, don't we all, right? We want our kids to have an easier time than we do. But the bottom line, and what Jesus said, is that she did not know what she was asking. But Jesus did. And Jesus knew her view. And it was not his view. It was the world's view. It was the view that says the higher you are, the better your situation. There's a movie that came out in the 80s called Wall Street. And a character in that movie, his name was Gordon Gekko, and he said something that still resonates today. He said, "Greed is good." He said, "Greed is good." This really typifies the world's mindset. And we may not say it as explicitly as Gordon Gekko did because our consciences may twinge at us. We may get a little embarrassed. But are we living Gordon Gekko sermons with our lives? Are we saying with the way that we live that the more I get, the more influence I have, the more money I have, the higher my bank account, the more secure I will be? If I get to the top of the pyramid, I will feel much better than I do right now. When this is the case, we serve because we feel like we're going to get something in return, whether it's a paycheck, whether it's a good reputation, or even just an appeased conscience. But the bottom line is we serve for our own security when the world is running our mindset. James and John threatened the disciples' security when they asked to be put at Jesus' right and his left. But see, that's what the broad road dictates. The broad road says that the way to security, safety, and prosperity is above others, with them in your service. That you should use your power and your strength and anything at your disposal to rise above others. But that's the world's view. That's the world's view. God's view is completely the opposite. And we can see it in verses 26 and 27 of what we just read, where Jesus said, "Those who are great will be the servant of all, and the greatest will be like a slave to all." I mean, that's strong language. But when we're talking about God's view, his view is that the way to greatness is by climbing down, by using the power that we have to get below others. That's a different way to think. But Jesus used his power, the Bible says, not to be served, but to serve. And Jesus had power. I mean, we're talking about the one through whom the entire universe was created. The one who had the power to do anything he wanted by just speaking a word. And he used that power to be the servant of all servants. Go ahead and turn your Bible to John chapter 10. That's John chapter 10. And we're going to start reading in verse 17. Jesus says in verse 17, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father." Jesus had the power that no other person, no other created being has ever had. He could lay down his life and pick it up again. And he used that power to lay down his life for us. That's how he used his power. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians in chapter 2. And we're going to get a little bit more detail, into a little bit more detail about the mindset that he had when he laid down his life. It's Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 3. The Bible says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In this passage, we see that Jesus was brought low, but he was raised up with God's power. In this passage also tells us and calls us to imitate his mindset. No vanity, no conceit, no selfish ambition. This is a high calling. We are called to value others more highly than ourselves, to value their time more highly, their discomfort, their pain more highly than we value our own. We are called to see their needs is more important than ours. And I want to talk specifically to the fathers right now. because I'm a father, and this challenged me greatly. The Bible says that my wife's needs are more important than mine. That my children's needs are more important than mine. That my brothers and sisters' needs are more important than mine. That the harassed and the helpless, the lost, their needs are more important than mine. I mean, I'm getting pretty far down the ladder in this conversation. And that's why I was challenged, because I was like, when am I going to be taken care of? But that is how my mind riles against God's view of service. My mind is railing against life and seeking death when it seeks an opposite way. The world and God, they're going in two different directions. One says you have to go down into the valley of humility and wait. And wait for God to raise you up. The other says, don't wait. Go grab it yourself. Meet your needs first. Raise yourself up first. Use whatever you can to get up that ladder. Which way are you going? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And while you're doing that, keep in mind, or keep your finger on 1 Peter chapter 4, because we're going to kind of go back and forth between those two. When I read this, I was just astonished with the amount of resolve that I saw that it would take to go down into that valley. The strength of character and conviction it would take to swim against the tide of an entire world. Praise God. Praise God that he's the one that gives us the strength we need to walk this road. It doesn't come from ourselves. And so we're going to talk next about the truth, about the strength that God gives us in order to live according to his view. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 14, the Bible says, at the present time, first, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about how they need to share with their brothers and sisters in other congregations, and he's collecting an offering, and that's the context for this passage. And he says, in this context, at the present time, in verse 14, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. Then there will be equality. As it is written, he who gathered too much did not have too much, and he who gathered too little did not have too little. You can see that God is giving these churches what they need, not so that they can hold on to it for themselves, but so that they can help each other with it, so they can meet each other's needs with it. And he's talking to a whole church there, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, he gets more specific, more personal. In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. The scripture says that God brings glory to himself, praise to himself through what he gives us. He gives us strength to serve. He gives us words to speak. Amen. God gives us his grace to serve, expecting us to be the instrument of his grace to others. He fills us with grace in its various forms, the Bible says, in the form of passions, in the form of our desires, our longings, our talents in certain areas. He fills us with these things to show the world his generosity. We are his vessels holding His glory. You have no right to keep it to yourself. It is not yours. You were meant to serve with it. That's what those things are for. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 7, the Bible reads, again getting very personal, to each one of us, grace has been given, as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Skipping down to verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The word says that he ascended high and gave gifts to men, the ability, the desire, and the passion to feed his body, to help it to mature, and prepare it for works of service. You know, when I read this, I get an image in my mind of a gangly teen, and it's me. I was gangly. I was completely uncoordinated when I was growing up. I was skinny. My knees were knocked, and I kept tripping over my own feet. But as I grew, as I was fed, as my body got stronger, I stopped tripping over my own feet. I got a little bit more coordinated, and my body started doing what I wanted it to do. After I grew up, I couldn't blame my immaturity for my body not serving me. Right? If my legs didn't walk, or my arms didn't pick up something I wanted to pick up, or they were weaker than I thought, I knew something was wrong. I must be sick or unhealthy in some way. It's the same with the church. The Bible says he gives us elders, evangelists, teachers, and deacons to feed us so that we can be strong enough to use our gifts to do the jobs he has planned in advance for us to do. That's what it says in Ephesians 2, verse 10. As we mature, as we are strengthened to be more coordinated and better, as we are strengthened and become more coordinated, we do better the things that he wants us to do. God feeds us through each other and expects service from us in the same way we expect it from our own bodies. It's no different. If we aren't serving, if we don't serve, something is wrong. We are either immature or we're sick. Are you serving or is something wrong? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews 6, starting in verse 7, the Bible says, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. How many sermons do we need to hear? How much good food do we need to take in? How much rain must fall on you? God has been raining his grace on all of us, and if we take a moment, we can recount all the ways we've been given the grace of God. Are we producing fruit, or are we producing thorns? God has given us the strength to answer the call. Are we using that strength? So we see the truth about the strength we're given to answer the call. We can see that truth. It's clearly laid out in the scriptures. But we will not use that strength if we don't have the right mindset. We need to address the mindset needed to use the strength that we're given. And so we're going to talk about the truth about the mindset we must have in order to use the strength God has given us to serve. Because the relationship with our mind and our body is not the same as our relationship between God and us. If our bodies are able, if they're fed, if they're not sick, they work. I can speak, right? I can pick things up as long as my body's healthy. Our bodies don't choose. But we choose. Our choices affect our service. And our mindset affects our choices. It dictates, our mindset dictates whether we are sick or whether we're serving. The battle of choice in our minds determines whether we serve or whether we're just unhealthy, languishing on the sidelines. But if someone is sick, physically sick, you don't just tell them, get up and get well. That's not the way we treat people that are sick. If they're sick, you provide medicine. You give them rest. You care for the sick part until it is able to serve again. That's the way we need to think about each other. Because we were all sick at one point, refusing to serve. But praise God that Jesus came for us. Praise God for that. In Luke 5, verse 31, you don't need to turn there. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. It's when we're convinced to do exactly the opposite of what we were doing before. Convinced in our minds that the thing we were doing before was wrong and the thing we're doing now is right. It's a complete change of mind that leads to a change in heart, that leads to a change in behavior. It's repentance that changes our choices from those that make us sick to those that make us serve. So, are you sick or are you serving? Turn your Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And we're going to start reading in Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. In Galatians 5, 16 says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. The Spirit and your flesh are in conflict. The flesh screams. It screams when you're walking with the Spirit because it's completely disoriented. The Spirit's ways are completely the opposite. They're completely the opposite of the ways of the flesh. I mean, it's like if you're flying a plane and you take the controls and you push up on the stick expecting the plane to go up and the nose dives down. Or you pull down on the stick expecting it to go down and the nose goes up. The flesh will always say when you're walking in the Spirit that you're going the wrong way. It will always say you're going the wrong way. But you must train your mind. You must train your mind. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. Because as we train our mind, it's not easy. 1 Peter chapter 5. Starting in verse 5. The Bible says, young men, in the same way be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Without a trained mind, this service that we're talking about will produce a lot of anxiety in us. And this is kind of where our untrained mind starts. Because as you humble yourself, you're demoting your needs below all these other people, like I talked about before. And the question in your mind just blares out to you, when are my needs going to be met? And that just makes us anxious. Because when we serve all those people before ourselves, that answer is not clear most of the time. But this is where verses like Luke 9, verse 23 through 25 come in. And you can turn there, but it essentially says that in order to come after Jesus, we have to deny ourselves, carry our cross daily, take up our cross daily, and follow him. And this is where the flesh goes crazy. Because next he says, if you try to hold on and save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for his sake, you'll save it. I mean, the controls go up and down. The flesh has no idea how to think about that. But that, Jesus said, is the path to life. The path to life is through this death. The path to glory is through humility. And the bottom line is, to us, it'll start to feel unnatural. But we must train our mind. It is not unnatural. Remember, God created all things. God created nature. So God defines what's natural and what's unnatural. He defines the way things are supposed to work. We read in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible talked about how Jesus was made in human likeness, taking on the very nature of a servant, which means that our likeness, our very nature, is that of a servant. We were always meant and always created to serve. It has never been different. But we've been immersed in a world that calls the unnatural natural and the natural unnatural. The world flips the right things on its head. And that is the impact of sin. That is the work of Satan. And he's done a good job. Because you can feel that in your minds, even as we think about our day to day. That's why we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. Because in 2 Timothy 3:16, and most of us know this, the Bible says that the word is useful to us to teach us about these concepts that we're talking about, to correct us when our mind is thinking in the way that the world thinks, and to rebuke us when we're walking on that path, and to train us in righteousness so that we can be equipped to serve the way that God has always intended us to serve. That's what the Bible is for, and we have to be in it every day. Because you're in the world every day. It's always seeking to flip your mindset, so you have to orient yourself to what's true. And you do that so that you can serve, so that you can understand why you're serving. But the strength to serve and the mind to serve, those are both great things, but they're worthless. Absolutely worthless if we don't have the heart. If we don't have the heart. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the truth about the heart that God commands us to have in service. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Those of you who know this passage, you know exactly what I'm going to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Starting in verse 2, Paul says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all knowledge and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Service without love is void. It is a bounced check. It is a wasted effort. God is not pleased with our rote, mindless, heartless, duty-bound service. He is only pleased with service that comes out of love. But the love that we have, if we have it, will bear all the fruit that God desires. But you must love. You must love first. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. Because this is not optional. And it's shown as being not optional in this passage where Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We have this concept in this men's group we have where we get together on Tuesdays. And the concept's called the first domino. And so imagine just a plethora of dominoes that are out there, and they're twisting and turning. They're set up in many different branches and many different designs. And imagine that you go up to the first set of branches, and those first three branches lead to every other design on the domino board. So in order to knock all those dominoes over, you have to go to those first three branches and knock over one, two, three to get them all to go over. But if you go back to the first domino, you just have to knock over that one domino and all the other dominoes will fall. Love is the first domino. Love is the first domino. If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love each other as ourselves, the fruit will come. But if we don't love each other, we'll see none of it. We'll feel none of it. That's easy to say. How do you do it? How do you love each other? How do you love someone that you hardly know? How do you love people that are hard to love? We have to tune in our minds and through the scriptures to the way God sees the people around us. If we see each other the way that God sees us, we will see the beauty in each other. We need to read the scriptures and pray to see our brothers and sisters the way that they really are. And think about it. Your brothers and sisters are so valuable that if they were the only one that sinned, Jesus would have come himself just for them. The Bible talks about disciples as if we are brittle jars of clay that are filled with treasure in 2 Corinthians. Filled with treasure. When you look at each other, you're seeing brittle jars of clay filled with riches. Filled with all kinds of grace that God has filled them up with. And you have to look for it. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, to the Psalms, in chapter 16. Because David saw this, and he expressed it. He saw this. In Psalms 16, starting in verse 2. Psalm 16, verse 2. The Bible says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. David saw the beauty in the people that love God around him. If we see each other as we really are, we will love each other. We will, just like God loves us. And so we have to meditate on each other. Meditate on your brothers and sisters and pray to see the grace that God has given them. When you pray for it, when you see it, that love, it'll cover over a multitude of sins. It will make the yokes easy and the burdens light as we carry our burdens for one another like it tells us to do in Galatians 6. It will change our heart. It will change our mind, and it will add to our strength. You just have to ask for it. The Bible promised. God promised that if you ask him for an egg, he's not going to give you a snake. He wants you to have this love. You need to beg him for it so that you can see each other the way that you are. If you do, it will make us all imitators of God as dearly loved children. It binds everything together. If we can excel in loving each other, everything else falls into place. It is the chief grace that we should pursue. And brothers and sisters, that is the gospel truth. It is the absolute truth. So to wrap it up here, we are called to use the power that we have and the strength we have to serve each other in love. That's what the Bible teaches. But we live in a world that uses that power to get out of that service. But Jesus encourages with the words, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." And to overcome the world like him, to follow his call to serve, we must love like him. We must think like him. We must use the strength that he provides through his Spirit. So the question I'm going to end with goes back to us. Will you use the strength and the power you have to live a life that is right side up? Or will you live an upside down life in accordance with the view of this world? I pray that you will make every effort, every day, to seek the compass that is in God's word. I pray that you, I'll pray for your heart, I pray for your strength, and I pray for your mind to do the works that he has prepared in advance for you to do. But most of all, I pray that you will see each other as you really are. That you'll see each other as you really are. And when we do that, to God will be all the glory for the works of love that he does through each one of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.